This is Fresh Air. The police drama Prime Suspect was a big hit on British television. Tonight, the three-part series premieres on the PBS Mystery Program. It stars Helen Mirren, a veteran of the Royal Shakespeare Company and the star of the originally X-rated film The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover. Prime Suspect is a little more gritty than the average British mystery import. Mirren plays Jane Tennyson, recently promoted to Detective Chief Inspector. After 18 months on the job, she hasn't yet been assigned a murder case. A sex crime has just been reported, and the detective on the case has died of a sudden heart attack. Unwilling to be passed over again, Tennyson walks into her superior's office and tells him she wants to take over the case.
I know DCI Shefford was at a crucial stage of the investigation.
I have to see his wife this afternoon. Don't expect me to make any decisions now. This is not the right time.
Well, when is the right time? Look, I am the only officer of my rank who's continually overstepped, sidestepped, whatever. Just give me the chance to prove that I can.
You don't have to prove yourself to me. Let me think about it.
Well, that's not enough, Michael. I'm getting sick to death of this so-called Metropolitan Police survey being thrown at me. So, all right, apparently 90% of the time the general public will prefer a male officer. But until one of us gets a chance to prove that that survey is a biased, outdated load of old bullshit.
A close friend, a man who I respected highly, died right there. And now, Inspector, is not the time to thrust your women's rights down my throat. I'll get back to you.
Thank you, sir.
Tennyson finally gets the assignment. What she doesn't get is the cooperation of the men in the department who resent having to answer to a woman. They constantly try to undermine her authority. Helen Mirren got some interesting advice from women inspectors on how to carry herself.
One particular piece of advice which I loved and I'd never thought of before was not to fold your arms. And I had been that morning trying on my costumes and to try and look sort of strong and, you know, butch and in control. I'd been standing there looking at myself in the mirror and folding my arms in a rather sort of what I thought was a rather aggressive sort of stance. And that later on that day, I met with one of my friends in the police force, and she said one of the things we never do is fold our arms. She just mentioned it incidentally. She said because folding your arms is a very defensive gesture, whereas to be open and to touch, and we touch people a lot because it's a much more powerful and dominating position. And actually, when you look at, say, top politicians, you realize that's what they do. Top people who are truly in power, they don't fold their arms. They stand there open-armed and they touch people a lot. And it's a very animal thing of domination. And that's what the police are very aware of, men and women. It's not just the women in the police force who are aware of this. The police in general are very aware of body language and psychology in general.
In Prime Suspect, you look more tired and worn as the story progresses and as you get deeper into the mystery and in more danger of getting thrown off the case. How did you achieve the look of being more tired, more worn? Your eyes become more swollen and it looks like you haven't slept.
I think just the process of working 6 days a week, sort of 15 hours a day, probably achieved it for me. Certainly on the show there, we didn't really use film lighting. We used the kind of neon strip lighting that they have in police stations. You know, a police station is a very physically brutal place to be. It's not very prettified. You know, they don't have nice lighting in England anyway. They don't have nice furniture. Everything is very utilitarian and very brutal. And we simply used that kind of lighting, which obviously is not very flattering. And I liked that. I thought that was of immense value in the piece.
Well, it makes things look more harsh, with lighting.
It makes things look more harsh. It also simply makes things look more real.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you have, the flattering kind of complicated filmic lighting, things actually start looking unreal. So I thought in terms of, and I wanted this to be as real as possible. I think that reality is achieved by that lighting as much as anything.
I have to thank you in a way, because there's something very thrilling about seeing, a mature actress playing this kind of role. My fear was that if the series was made in America, it would be, a beautiful actress in her 20s, as opposed to, a beautiful actress in her 40s. And you were willing to let your beauty look less beautiful than it really is for the role. Do you know what I mean? I really don't think you let any vanity stand in the way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's really a reverse vanity, It's the vanity of myself as an actress.
Yeah, right.
It's not a physical vanity.
Yes.
It's my vanity of my talent. And so it is another kind of vanity,
Right, no, that's all. I understand what you're saying. My guest is actress Helen Mirren, and she stars in a new 3-part film that you can see on public television starting tonight. It's called Prime Suspect, and it's being shown as part of the Mystery series on public television. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Helen Mirren, star of the new series Prime Suspect, which is part of the Mystery series on public television. Now, in this role on Prime Suspect, as a detective chief inspector, you play somebody who's very businesslike and very emotionally repressed in a way. And, at work you wear skirted suits. At home, even in bed with your lover, you're too exhausted from work to be sexual. Viewers who only know you from this role might be surprised to know that many of your previous roles were really very sexual. For instance, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen you in The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover, which was actually an X-rated film when it was released. And it was set in this bizarre restaurant. You were always off in the bathroom or in the kitchen having sex with your lover. Did you have any reservations about taking this role? The film was so controversial in America.
Yes, of course. You know that you're going out on a limb with a piece like that. And in my past, I have not been particularly averse to going out on a limb, although each time you do it, you obviously have reservations about it. You have to think about it. Is it worth it? And I did feel with this film that it was worth it. Peter Greenaway, as you know, is a very, very respected director in England and in Europe in general. And, of course, it wasn't nearly so much of a scandal in Europe as it was here in America.
Do you have to be very comfortable with your body to do sex scenes?
No, not particularly. But there's a funny thing that happens when you're doing a sex scene, is that you get us and them, because there's usually two of you and a whole load of other people, two of you without your clothes on and a load of people with their clothes on. So you actually form this rather, it's sort of a bit like Hansel and Gretel in the woods, You form this little environment between the two of you, and you just tend to cut everyone else out. I have to say that that environment is nothing to do with sex. It's much more to do with kind of friendship and reliance upon each other. And it actually becomes rather a sweet experience, in my experience anyway.
I really loved your performance in Paul Schrader's movie, The Comfort of Strangers. And in this movie, you played opposite Christopher Walken. You were a couple into sadomasochism and voyeurism. Let me play a short clip from the film.
I've never told anyone this. Never. But I want to tell you. Soon after we were married, Robert started to hurt me when we made love. I tried to stop him, but he went on doing it. And after a time, I found I liked it. Not the pain itself, but somehow the fact of being helpless before it, being reduced to nothing by it, and of being punished, therefore being guilty. I felt it was right that I should be punished. I thrilled to it. No, it took us over totally. It grew and grew, it seemed never ending. But there was an end to it. We both knew what it was.
I bet that your work doing soliloquies in classic theater really helped in this part, in doing a little monologue like that.
Yes, that was a very little monologue.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's
yes, I found that role very hard. I must say, of all the film roles I've done, I think that was about the most difficult. I found it, because in a film, much more than in a play in the theatre, you really have to enter into the psychology of the character and live inside that person and look out at the world through their eyes. And I found living inside that person a really uncomfortable place to be.
Almost frightening, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and I... so it was difficult for me, that film. Anyway.
So what did you do to find a way into the character?
Well, I just had to do it, you know. I had to think... I mean, I think that speech is funny. I haven't heard that speech for a long time. Since I did it, I suppose. And it's a... You know, this script was written by Harold Pinter, and it was taken from a book by Ian McEwan. And on top of that, you then had Paul Schrader directing it. So there you have three extraordinarily complex psychologies at work. The psychologies of those three men are very deep and dark and complicated. And, you know, that speech is an amazing description of sadomasochism, but also of the sort of strange human desire to be a victim. I don't think that's necessarily women, or, you know, I think it's a universal element in all tribes. You know, that is a universal element in human psychology, the desire to be a victim.
Did you deepen your voice a little bit for the Chief Inspector role in Prime Suspect?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think maybe I did. Yeah, maybe I consciously did.
Because I was in listening back to your performances in The Comfort of Strangers and in The Cook, the Thief, your voice just seemed deeper to me in Prime Suspect. And maybe even deeper than it does today.
You're right. You know, I'd kind of forgotten. I did it a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But I think the quality of the voice, anyway, in a role is very important. And I very specifically, I remember in Comfort of Strangers, very specifically used as light and kind of innocent a voice as possible, because I didn't want people at the beginning of the film to immediately identify her as what she ultimately turned out to be. So I wanted there to be this kind of naivete about the character. So I deliberately kind of used a, you know, that sort of voice. And I think probably with Jane Tennyson, yes, I did consciously use a deeper voice, which I think, you know, you can't walk into a police station in a rough part of London and kind of talk like this, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, baby doll voice. You just can't do it.
For a woman in classic theater, are there as many really good roles as there are for the men?
No, of course not. I mean, you don't need to ask me that question. Of course not. There's no King Lear's. There's no. I mean, there's a tiny handful of great roles in Shakespeare. Of course, Ibsen on the Scandinavian writers and Russian Chekhov give you quite a good selection of roles, but no, not in Shakespeare.
I imagine that must be pretty frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating because you reach, especially in classical theatre, you know, you reach a point of technical. You just reach a point of ability, which takes a long and arduous journey to get there, and you only really get there after 10 or so years of working very, very hard in classical theatre. You understand the nature of the beast and you get to control it. And the minute you find that you can do it, you turn around and there are not many roles to do it in, you know. Whereas for the men, they reach that point and there are, oh my God, there's just so many roles for them to play, you know, in Shakespeare anyway.
Where did you grow up in England?
I grew up in a little town, dormitory town, about 40 miles outside of London.
Did you feel that you fit in when you started in the Royal Shakespeare Company? I always like hearing people's stories about what it was like when they started with the company.
Yes, I did. You know, I was lucky in that the whole sense of acting, which used to be in the 40s and 50s and the early 60s, you know, acting was a sort of rather, strangely, because it's not the case at all, but rather an upper-class kind of, polite kind of thing to do. And luckily that had broken down by the time I entered the profession, because I was neither upper-class nor particularly polite. So the whole, you know, late 60s sort of working-class English drama suddenly exploded, had exploded, and people were coming into the theatre with all kinds of different accents. I felt very comfortable in that environment. I felt I'd been born to it, and I was where I should be in life.
Helen Mirren stars in the three-part series Prime Suspect. It premieres tonight on the PBS program Mystery. This is Fresh Air.